for us to do something. We're waiting for him to show us a sign or to speak directly, "Thou hast the power to do this." You know, it's like we're waiting. Sorry. I don't mean this to be sarcastic, but enough to just wake us up and cause us to recognize religious mindsets and the voice of the enemy that tries to paralyze us, that says, "Oh, you don't have the right to do that." I mean, that's usurping power. What gives you the right to do that? Who do you think you are? That you have the right to lay hands on? Who do you think you are that you can pray in tongues and prophesy and interpret? Who do you think you are? Did Jesus ever talk like that?
Nope.
What did he say? Go in peace. That peace is shalom, man. That's powerful stuff. That's the peace that calms storms. That go. Do something. Do something. And don't wait for a sign. Don't wait for a signal from heaven saying, or the nod. You know, that you can go ahead and do this, man. Don't wait for that. You're basing your faith on outward things. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said.
Amen.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Amen.
He said that the kingdom of God doesn't come from observation.
Amen.
It comes, it is, the kingdom of God is within you. So don't wait. If that describes you, don't take this personally. Because I don't mean, it's all of us. We've all done that in one way or another, just waited on a sign, waited on this, waited for a feeling to come before we say we're healed. No, the word says you were healed.
Yeah.
Walk in that.
Amen.
The word says, and healing involves physical healing. It involves mental healing.
Amen.
It involves emotional healing. But it doesn't involve spiritual healing. Your spirit doesn't need any healing.
Right.
Your spirit is a new creation.
Right.
And you have power working in you and blessing working in you that is not in your soul. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says this, and he's talking to Christians, once you've been born again, now it's up to you to present your body as a living sacrifice and get your mind renewed with the word of God.
Right.
And you will be transformed into what? Into everything that God has already deposited in your spirit.
Amen.
In your spirit, you are wall to wall Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wall to wall Spirit of Christ. Depending on where you are. Ooh. That was good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Amen.
I'm reminded just now, anybody know who T.L. Osborne was? T.L. Osborne, he wasn't really big in evangelistic or evangelical circles. He always said, "I don't have time to play in that mess. If they want to do sword drills and just whatever, that's fine. I got to work in the power of God. God sent his power, and I'm taking it up." And somebody asked him one time in an interview, he said, "How did God call you into the ministry?" And T.L. Osborne sat there and says, "He didn't." He says, "Really?" He says, "No, I just read that part in the Bible. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel." And he went through the entire continent of Africa, almost like where John G. Lake left off. He picked up and started going. Absolutely astounding miracles, planting churches, getting people saved, healed, and delivered. And there's demons over there that you don't even want to think about. The guys coming up riding on horses in the village, the guys that drink Lysol for fun. And dangerous people, demon-possessed people. And that's where T.L. Osborne went. He said, "The first thing God told me to do is cast out demons." Why did he do that? Well, it says right there, "They that believe in my name shall cast out demons."
Amen.
I believe in his name. They have no right. And so don't wait for a sign. Don't wait for something. God has already placed a treasure. Say that. Treasure! Shout it in the morning. Shout it in the evening. Shout it all day. I have a treasure on the inside.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
A treasure
Amen.
That is infinite.
Yes.
It is indescribably huge and vast and wide and deep and high. And it has been deposited in you. The language that he used is so amazing. And that when he talks about that treasure in our earthen vessel, gives us a picture of a treasure trove so deep and so wide it can never be exhausted. Never. It works like a universe that is still expanding at the speed of light. If you wanted to measure it, once you measure it, keep going, because it's going to keep going. That's the way the treasure is on the inside of you. And it is filled with powers and abilities only known through Jesus Christ, who walked in them. Powers and strengths, provision, keys that will unlock even greater powers are in that treasure in you. Well, get you so distracted. You know? Don't get so distracted with this world. This world is perishing.
Amen.
I mean, it's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's happening fast. This world is falling apart at the seams, and nothing is going to improve until the Prince of Peace comes back and sets it all up and winds it all up.
Amen.
Promises are in you. They've already been birthed in you. Supernatural gifts that have been invested in you that are lying dormant right in your spirit. Say this: I have a treasure.
I have a treasure.
I have a treasure.
That's good.
Amen.
Jason. I have a treasure.
I have a treasure.
Say it once more. I have a treasure. I can't say that loud enough. Wish I had a horn. You blast that devil and say, whoa, I'm getting out of here. But this is why God instructs us to be doers of the word. Because when you do the word, the Holy Spirit starts activating that treasure on the inside of you, and it starts to manifest.
Amen.
And all the blessings that he has already given you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory,
amen,
who has blessed us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The blessings have already been released.
Thank you, Lord.
Guess where they've been released?
Yeah.
Right inside of you.
Amen.
How do you get them to manifest? Well, what have you been saying lately?
Yeah.
Turn with me to Philemon. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's do this. Let me just clarify a few things first. It's only when we become doers of the word that the Spirit starts activating that treasure on the inside of us that is placed there because God said it's there, not because you feel it. Do you feel, I mean, have you ever seen a treasure on the inside of you? Have you ever seen, Jackie, you're a new creation, right?
Yes.
Evie, you're a new creation. Have you ever seen in the mirror your new creation?
Oh, no.
But it's there. Why? Because God said it is. Right? God said it's there. And God described it in words that is an indescribable, unending, unfathomable riches of glory and treasure that's on the inside of you. That's the way God defines it. And whether you've seen it or not, there's an outside chance that you could be wrong about something. But God says it's there, so it's there.
Amen.
Amen.
It's there. Well, God says you were healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you have a fever and everything, and your stomach is swirling, your head is swirling and everything, do you feel healed?
No.
No. But what does God say?
You're healed.
So whether you feel it, see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, whatever, your physical senses will tell you the wrong information every single time. The right information is right there. Be doers of that word. And the Holy Spirit starts activating the treasure that's within you.
Amen.
Part of that treasure is the name of Jesus and all the names of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer.
Yes, sir.
Jehovah Rea, our shepherd. He'll lead you. You got to follow him. My sheep know my voice.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
I lead them and they follow. Amen?
Amen.
Four things. You got to follow. He's your shepherd. Right down in here. That's how you recognize the voice of the good shepherd. So he has placed in us not only authoritative power, but demonstrative dunamis power. Let's go into the word here. That's cute. And you know, every time we get into the word, we're opening up. We're opening the word of God and looking into the very light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are looking directly into deliverance. We're looking directly into healing and power, and whatever we need, God is there. He's El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. More than what? Doesn't matter. He's more. He's more than enough. More than enough mercy, provision, angelic assistance, whatever you need. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So what we have here is God speaking to us.
Amen.
Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power that works in us. This word power right there is the word dunamis. I'm going to give you a Bible definition for this. Dunamis in the King James was translated into virtue. Remember the lady with the issue of blood came up and touched his garment? And Jesus said, wait, oh, who touched me? I felt virtue go up. The word is dunamis. It's miracle working power. It is miraculous power, miraculous ability, miraculous abundance, miraculous strength, miraculous wonder, as in the works of power. It's translated as miracle, ability, might, mightily, miraculous mighty deeds, miraculous mighty works, miraculous mighty power, miraculous mighty strength. I can go on. You got that? So you get the picture. And walking in this power, according to the scripture, is the way we are to approach God, approach the world, approach our day, filter out thoughts, factor in the truth, and regard it as our standard in life. Dunamis power is to be regarded as the standard of who God is in our life. And he is only able to do exceeding abundantly above according to the power that works in us. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, there is only one chapter, so it's Philemon 6, says this. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That that word communication is the word koinonia. It means fellowship, deep fellowship. It means social interaction, social intercourse. It means partnership. It means like an equality of partnership. That the partnership, that the fellowship of your faith, whoops, excuse me. Too many Christians are fellowshipping on everything but their faith.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Talking about their problems. talking about issues, talking about how everything's coming against them, talking about the supremacy of Satan. Get rid of that stuff.
Amen.
Fellowship of your faith becomes effectual, because the more you talk about those things, the more effectual they'll become. The more you talk about your problems, the more you talk about your habits, the more you talk about your addictions, your troubles, your whatever it is, the more you talk about it, the more effective they become, the bigger they come. I mentioned that last week. There's a whole denomination. All they do is confess their sins. And they walk into the thing and they confess their sins. And what happens? They have to come back next week because the sin got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it controls their life because that's all they're confessing. And the Bible has a couple of verses in there about confessing our faith. Maybe four or five in the whole New Testament. But the New Testament is absolutely cram-packed full of the confession of our faith. Who we are in Christ. What we have in Christ. What we can do through Christ. Where we are in Christ. Raised up and seated together with Him in heavenly places.
Thank you, Lord.
That's our seat of authority. That's our fellowship of our faith. And it becomes effectual when we acknowledge the good things, every good thing that is in us. What are some of those things? The fruit of the Spirit is already in you. Say, oh God, give me patience. That's a worthless prayer. That's the kind of prayer that just rolls over and dies.
Right.
You can't pray for patience. The patience is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
It involves the seed, planting, watering, exercising. You're praying to God to give you something that you need to exercise yourself because you already have it.
Right.
Too many Christians are praying for things that God has already given them.
Right.
And they wonder why God hasn't come through. Because they're basing it on how they feel.
Right.
Rather than what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Jesus said, Jesus said this. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Let me ask you something. Where does fruit grow? On the branches. On the branches. Out there on the end of the branches. Apple tree. It grows out there in the branches. That's where the fruit is. You're a branch. You're a branch. You're a branch. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, and self-control. You have all of these things already on the inside of you. They may be in seed form, but they're there.
Right.
You got to water it a little. You got to let it grow. You got to prune it a little bit and get it healthy. Get a nice round bush. You know, there's some Christians have a lot of faith and they can do stuff. And this faith branch is way out here. And the rest of the bush is over here. It never took time to prune it to let the other stuff grow. And they have a lot of faith, but they have zero tolerance or patience for anything. You ever notice that?
Yes.
I've been to those churches, man. They're snake pits. I'm just telling you like it is. It's true. Isn't that the truth? It's not honoring to the Lord. We got to get this right. We got to start fellowshipping our faith, communicating our faith, getting deep understandings with each other according to our faith, to establish relationships based on faith in God's word, and let that koinonia happen with each other. John said this. He said, these things we're writing to you that you may have fellowship with us. Because truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And if you're doing things or watching things or in conversations that doesn't honor God, get out of it.
Right.
Amen. You say, well, that would be rude. You know what's ruder? An awakening that comes when you're in the middle of a trap. Get out of those things. Be like Joseph and let the lady take the thing off, but you run.
Amen.
Amen. You run. Run like a son of a gun.
Yes.
Exit. Stage left. The fruit of the Spirit. The mind of Christ. The wisdom of God. The faith of God. The love of God. These things are already in you. In you. In you. The knowledge of God. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things.
Wow.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
1 John. Here's what the Amplified says this verse says. It says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge, precise, of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. If you don't know these things, you're not giving glory to God. You're not bringing glory to God if you don't know these things. That the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Precise knowledge. Let's get another scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Only God can do this. Only God can get into your spirit and say, new. Happy birthday. You're born. You're born anew. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. You know what the key to this whole thing is? This word right here. Behold. You know what behold means? It means to look at, to focus on, to look at it. That's what behold means. Behold! All things are new. You're looking at the old things. You're focusing on the old things. And you're missing all the new stuff that God has put in your spirit. You're missing the blessing. You're getting ripped off. Amen? You're getting distracted. And then you start, and then you get into eating disorders and things like that, and then it shows up in your body in sickness and whatever. It's, look, say, well, I've done so much wrong. God will heal you. Yeah. Just behold what he has done in you and give honor to what he has done. Doesn't matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what your situation is. Doesn't matter what your past says about you. Doesn't matter what all your mistakes were, all your failures were. It doesn't matter if you lied about somebody. It doesn't. All that is past, and you can't get it back, and it passed away.
Yeah.
And behold, all things are new. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But I know this, that you don't know the power of that blood.
Right.
Amen.
You don't know the power of that blood that has been poured out on the mercy seat of heaven. That word is mercy for a reason, because you need it. And that blood is in his face. Every decision he makes, every prayer request he sees, God, mercy, 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 day and night, night and day, forever, 24/7.
Jesus.
365 and a quarter. Mercy, mercy, mercy. God is a rich God. He's rich in mercy. Do you know anybody who just can't wait to be merciful to you after you've hurt them or damaged them in some way, lied about them or hurt one of their family members, and they just can't wait to be merciful to you? Do you know anybody like that?
Jesus.
There is nobody like that except, Jesus. But that's why we think that God will somehow hold something against us somewhere about something. He's ready. He is so ready to forgive. You know why? Because his son went through that for a purpose and a reason, and it was for you. All for you, and he can't wait for you to come to him and just jump in and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh. And just like the father did with the prodigal, boom, it's done. The ring goes back on your finger, and you are accepted. Now, you see, this verse starts with something. The word therefore, you know, when you find a therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. So you look at the back, so you go back two verses and it says, he died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, he rose again, right? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet know we him no, thus no longer. We don't even know Jesus. We're not even to relate to Jesus how he was in the Gospels when he walked on this earth as a man. Really? Well, why are we reading the Gospels? well, to know how we should act in this earth, but we should relate to him as he is now, with eyes like coals of fire, wool, hair white, bronze skin, belt around it, the authority, the risen, victorious Christ, that death can't hold, sin can't touch, that he has been raised up, put all that behind him and underneath him, and you are up with him. The Bible says that you are raised up with him, raised up in heavenly places to be seated with him. Seated in what? Victory, power, strength, blessing, honor. God wants to honor you. It says that God honors those who honor him. Honor him, and he will honor you. And he will give you his seat. Look at this. Therefore, from now on, we don't look at ourselves according to our flesh. We don't look at others according to the flesh. We don't even, because Jesus was limited when he was here on the earth. He could only be in one place at one time, right? Guess what? He got out. He got out of that body. And now he's anywhere where he wants to be at the same time. He's not limited to time or space. And he's your brother. Has he proved his love for you?
Yes.
Has he proved his power for you?
Yes.
Your strength, has he given? Has he made you a joint heir with him?
Yes.
Equal with him? I think so. You know, here's another facet about this. Looking at Noah, you say, well, he preached healing, but man, he died young. You don't let other people's experience regulate your faith.
Amen.
You don't know his heart. I mean, A.A. Allen died young. And he preached. He used to pass out on the platform, slain under the Spirit. And people who had strokes, who just walk up and touch him, were totally healed. People, deaf, their ears were, as soon as they touched him, there was such an anointing on this guy. And he died young. He was accused of being an alcoholic. They couldn't prove that because his blood, when they tested his blood, when they found him dead in the hotel room, they found that there was no alcohol in his blood whatsoever. Others, there were other evangelists. You don't know the pressure that the devil puts on those people.
Yes.
You have no idea what's going on in their heart. The book of James is all about that. I can't see what's in a man's heart. I can only see what's in his heart by what he does. But that doesn't mean he's free from struggles in this world. Yeah. The devil has a way of just doing stuff. Yeah. Getting in like where he shouldn't be. You know, one thing, I remember Van Crouch, when Lori and I were talking to him, he said, one thing I didn't factor in when I got in the ministry was spiritual warfare. He said, we started having all kinds of problems. He said, we had more problems than we knew what to do with, like that. She had a family member commit suicide. It just went on and on, one thing after another. And the devil does that to ministry. We went in this with our eyes open, and we took authority over that from the very beginning. The devil tried to destroy this church many times since the very, very, very beginning of this church. Look, and look at you guys.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He preserved it just for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Holy Spirit.
And here we are. I mean, he threw his best shot. Right, we were, what, 2-3 months into this thing? And, dear Lord, God is good.
Amen.
Spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare isn't demons out here somewhere in the skies. Okay, that's not spiritual warfare. The devil has been cast down. That was in Daniel's day. We have a New Testament. And Jesus said, Satan came down like lightning. Spiritual warfare is the warfare over the decision-making process in your head. That's what spiritual warfare is. That's why you need to feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. You know, say, well, I know the Word. I said this last week. I know what a steak dinner tastes like, but it's not doing me any good unless I'm eating it.
Amen.
I know what a big breakfast, toast, scrambled eggs, bacon, orange juice, and coffee. I know what all of that tastes like, but it's not doing me any good unless I'm feeding on it. That's what the Word of God, you need to do that. Just chew on it. meditate on it. Like the cut of a cow, just let it go down, let it come up, let it go down, let it come up, let it come down. You know, and then after 4 or 5 times, you're going to say, my mind is changing now. You know, we had a testimony at the baptism, Danny, Gama's son. He said, you know, Pastor Tom encouraged us to read the confession on the bulletin once every day. He said, I started doing that, and all of a sudden things started making sense. I forget exactly how he worded it. That was powerful, wasn't it, Phil? And he said, so I started doing it like 2, 3, 4 times a day. In fact, we'll end this message with the confession on our bulletins. Because it's good for you. It's feeding on the Word of God. Let's go to our next verse. This is why you need to see things differently the way God does. See Him, how He is, the way He is, the risen Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it knew Him not. Didn't know Him. If the world doesn't know you, if they rejected, it's because they didn't know Him and they rejected Him. So don't take it personally. Jesus said, if they rejected me, what are they going to do with you?
Yeah.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. When you see Him as He is, there will be a transformation in you like nothing else can do. There will be a transformation in your face. You'll smile. Amen? Some of you are not smiling. I see that. But I don't look at you after the flesh. No, I look at the risen Christ in every one of you.
Amen.
And when you start seeing Him as He is, as He is, as He is, as He is, you will be just like Him. You read through the Gospels and you see Jesus, and His face starts coming clear to you. His mannerisms, His thought systems, His heart, all of these things. You see His mercy is just abounding. He never missed an opportunity to do good for anybody. And He always came with a full supply because He was looking at the Father the way the Father is. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. And that was the fellowship He had. This is the fellowship we need to have, is with the risen Christ, the Jesus who has already defeated all of your enemies. Every one of them.
Amen.
Beloved, you are loved by God. Loved by God. Loved by God. One more verse of scripture and we'll close here. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. That He would grant you according to all of your successes. Is that what it says?
No.
That He would grant you, or would not grant you, according to your failures and your mistakes. No. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know God. Verse 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. He's not holding anything back. To be strengthened with dunamis, might. Strengthened with miracle-working power in your inner man. Miracle-working, demonstrative power in your inner man that gives you every right and every authorization to lay hands on the sick and see them healed.
Amen.
Every right and every authorization to cast a demon out of anybody.
Amen.
Who wants it. Don't cast a demon out of anybody. But if they want deliverance, cast it out.
Amen.
Because if they're not ready, He's going to go get 7 more friends.
Yes.
Hoodlums of His. And He'll come back and their condition will be worse. So be careful about that.
Yeah.
But if they're ready and they're repentant, saying, you know, I don't want this anymore, but I feel like I'm controlled, I need help. Get out!
Amen.
Jesus!
Amen.
Here's the keys. I'm ready. Chase them right out the door.
Amen.
You know, Kenneth Hagin cast a demon out of this one place one time. He was fasting and praying in this one church. It was the hardest thing in the world for him to do, was to pray, was to preach in this one church. Well, there was this, God opened his eyes, there was this monkey swinging around in the rafters above. And he says, you get out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dropped down, and he came at him, like just walked right to him. And he says, I said, get! And the monkey looked at him and said, I will, because I know that I have to do what you say. Attitude. That's my devil, attitude. And he walked out of the church, and he watched him, and he walked down into a bar and went in there. He said the next message he preached in that place, in that church, was as free as a bird. I mean, the anointing was flowing, everything. That thing was blocking, doing everything he could to block the anointing that God was pouring into that church. This is the kind of power that we all have. You have it.
Amen. Amen.
And if you, with the right, with a knowledge of who you are in Christ, you can do this. And then when he challenges you and says, I'm not moving. I don't have to move. This is according to his riches and glory that has been vested in me. I'm telling you now. Get! And he will.
Amen.
He has to. You know why? He has to hear the word of God. You know why? Because the angels hearken unto the voice of his word, and they are fallen angels. They have this built into them that when they hear the word of God, they got to do what it says. It's authority, it's authorization, and it's also demonstrative power that you have in the name of Jesus. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with dunamis, miracle-working power through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ, rooted and grounded in love. This is important, folks. This is real important. I have so much more to do in this, but let me close by saying this. God didn't do a patch job on you. You're not a patched-up old sinner saved by grace. That is a lie of the devil. God didn't put a brand new patch on an old garment and say, do the best you can. We'll be rooting for you. You know, we'll be cheering you on, man. There's a whole crowd in heaven just cheering. No, he didn't. He got rid of the old, and you're a brand new robe of righteousness. He didn't just pour new wine into an old wineskin. Your spirit has been recreated to hold the wines of heaven, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And let me put that in plural, the anointings of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because you have different needs that need different anointings. And God has placed them all in you. You are a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
There is a power that works in you. Just learn how to work it.
Yeah.
Amen.
How do you do that? Well, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Amen.
He said that, right?
Yes.
Take my yoke. What is that yoke? That's what connects you to God. Like, you know what an ox yoke is? You live out here in the Midwest, you ought to know.
We have one on your wall.
You have one on your wall. But it yokes two oxen together. So that when one walks, it keeps the other in line, and this one keeps that one in line. They're all walking together. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. So that when he walks, you walk with him.
Amen.
Isn't that rich?
Amen.
That's good.
Great word.
Great word. That's it. Thank you. Oh, I got to end it here because it's 3 or 4 minutes past lunch.
We're eating here, Pastor. This is good food.
It's good food. Well, I'm glad you liked it. But you know, after talking about steak and eggs and everything, it's getting on. You're hungry.
It's good word food.
Good word food. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power and the life and the strength and everything that's in your word. We thank you for the treasure that you have placed on the inside of us, that we can go and meet the days ahead, the hours ahead, the moments ahead, from the standpoint of strength and not weakness, because we have been delivered from evil. We have been delivered from those things that have held us. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to keep walking and walking and walking, not in our own strength, not living for you, but allowing you to live through us in your strength, being strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man and not by our willpower or anything else. This is your battle, and it's your victory to win in us, through us, and for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. So good. In Jesus' name. If you're here for the, if you are here and you have never received Jesus Christ, this Jesus. You may have received a religious Jesus. This one is powerful.